This morning, we will discuss important tech issues with our tech guru, Jesse Feiler. It's been a while since Jesse has been around, and we miss him horribly. And so it's a great pleasure to have him back in the studio. He is a developer, a consultant, an author. He specializes in Apple technologies. He's the creator of Minutes Machine for iPad, the meeting management app, and Saranac River Trail app, a guide to the trail that includes location-based updates as well as social media tools. It is always a wonderful pleasure to have him on the program, and we thank him so much for being with us this morning.
How
are you?
It's my pleasure. Great to be here.
We missed you.
I've been scribbling away.
Well, good. I'm glad you have been keeping busy, and I'm glad you're back, and we're back on schedule and track. So I mentioned two of your apps in the introduction. We want to talk a little bit about apps. I know this is a subject that we've talked about in the past, but really we've gotten to a point where they can rule our lives, can't they?
Yes.
and that's not an evil thing.
No, it's not evil. It's you can look at apps. There's a whole different ways of looking at them. One way is to look at them. I see them sort of in a progression of communication and support for our lives, our technologies, our personal lives, our health, and so forth, that goes from we started out with personal interaction, you know, actually talking to people.
Right.
You know, that's sort of a quaint.
Yes.
And then we started printing things out. And then we came up with websites, which are terrific. And then we've started moving towards, I think it's another iteration into apps, which are in many ways more powerful and flexible than websites. So it's to me, it seems to be a continuum there.
So if
Now that I've insulted everyone from people talking to one another
no.
and websites and publishers, no, we can move on.
We understand. So if I'm let's just take this as an example. If I'm Bob's Motor Car Emporium and I have a website and I have a web presence, then how do I get in on the app world? And is that worth my time?
It depends what you want to do.
I want people to come to Bob's Motor Car Emporium. I want them to know that we are a resource. You can find out what your car is worth, perhaps. You can find out what the trade-in will be. And you can find out what cars I have on the lot so you can drive out with a brand new car.
And those are all wonderful things for you, Bob, to do.
Yes.
In that list that you went through, if I'm looking at, because people come to me all the time and they have wonderful ideas for apps, and it's great, and I love talking about apps, but I often have this conversation that we just started to have, and I say something like, of those list of things that you want to put on your website, as someone who might use that website,
yep.
They're wonderful things for you to do. From my point of view as a potential user, I only heard two that were useful to me.
All right.
One was to tell me how much my car is worth.
Right.
That's useful. That would be something I would really want to know under the right circumstances. And that's really powerful. But beyond that, those are things you want to tell me.
Yes.
And when you are designing websites, we should always – it doesn't matter what the medium is. It's the same thing in print and in discussions. We should always start thinking about what do people want – not what do I want to tell them, but what do they want to hear? What do they want me to provide for them? Not what I'm doing, if that makes sense.
Yes.
And then, but one of the things that we can do with apps is the relationship can be more interactive, can be more powerful, because since the user is not just going to a website and reading it, but is tapping and clicking either through the website or through an app, and we can pull information from all sorts of other places into the conversation, we can provide more. Does that sort of make sense in
a
strange way?
It does.
It puts the focus on the interaction and not what I want to tell people, but what I can offer people that is of use to them and of value.
When you talk about and use to them, I remember we've had this conversation, I believe, before, where you were positing that what is good about this of technology and of app technology is that we can regulate things that are going on in our home. We can make sure that if we're going to be a couple of hours late and we want to turn a light on for the dog, we can do that from our phone. And we don't necessarily need to, we can do that through the app, that we don't necessarily, A, have to be there, and B, that we have that control and also a control to monitor all of that.
And that brings us to the category of home automation, which we have indeed talked about before. But what has happened now is that since we tend to, in our conversations, we tend to be occasionally just a little bit ahead of the curve. And the curve...
Which is all you. I mean, you're the reason for that.
Well, the curve has caught up.
Okay. Has it?
And home automation is happening now.
Okay.
And that's what's really exciting. And when I started looking at this, and I put up a whole bunch of links on the website because it's a very, very interesting area. You're right. Home automation is turning into two different trends that we're looking at. One is controlling things, turning the lights on when you're not home. And the other is monitoring things, like, and it's often the same technology at the root of it, but they're two different things. One is to be able to say, it's time to turn the light on or the music on for the radio, talk radio. I've always heard for some dogs that get nervous, they like talk
yes.
radio because they think there's a person there. So
my dog likes that because he thinks I'm there.
Well, that's because you're on the radio. That's a very special
specific.
Case.
Yeah, it's very specific.
Yes,
I'll
yes
agree.
But does it work if you do the station identification?
Yeah,
the dog
no, comforted for, immediately.
Yeah, yeah, good. As it does to all of us who listen to WAMC.
Thank you, Jesse. Did I screw up your train of thought? I'm sorry.
I think it's off the rails, but. The point is that one aspect of home automation is controlling things, turning things on and off. And the other is monitoring use, like electricity. And we're early days on that because now we know in the summertime that the grids are going to be stressed, the electrical grids are going to be stressed in the afternoon when it's hot and humid.
Air conditioning.
And we get warnings. Even the day before, they say, tomorrow's going to be a bad day. Turn your air conditioner on but down. You know, don't turn it on high all day long if you're not going to be there. So we have these warnings. And it seems to me we're moving in an area where we can respond to that, put the two pieces together. We can turn things on and off remotely so we have control. But we can also monitor not just the prediction of what's going to happen to the grid, but what is actually happening. Is the grid really being stressed at this point? And whereas the control of turning the lights on or off is for my own personal satisfaction or the dog's satisfaction, which
yes.
is much more important, from society's point of view, not to be too highfalutin about it, not contributing to stressing the grid and being aware somehow what is happening in my home and in the grid and doing something perhaps with automation so that the turning on and off of appliances is designed not just to make the dog happy, but also, as I said, to fulfill the societal need of not blowing up the grid for everyone. And they're coming together now.
So let me ask you the question, which will be clunky, I think, because I just have a couple of scraps of thought. So I have
That's
to
okay.
put
I
them
do,
together
I do
into...
clunky.
So... It would seem to me that is all well and good that we have that power. We have that at our fingertips, and we are able to do that. We have that ability. But do we have the will, I ask, fresh from a climate pact that took 6 years to forge together?
And a good job that you did.
Do we have the will to look at it and say, okay, have that make sense and say, well, all right, look, the grid's not that bad, so I'm going to jack up my air conditioning?
Well, this is something that people are addressing, and people have been looking at this for a long time. It's a serious issue. It's part of the whole climate issue, managing our demand for these resources.
Meaning, even if we have this information, will we still be selfish?
Have you noticed something called demand pricing?
Yeah, being I talked think so. About? Well, meaning that...
A kilowatt of electricity...
Yes.
...at 2 in the morning...
Yes.
...is cheaper for certain users, if they have smart meters, is cheaper at 2 in the morning than it is at 4 in the afternoon. So the whole idea, as I see it, for demand pricing is to move it from doing something good to society, which is not blowing up the grid, to doing something that's good for you selfishly, personally, which is to save money on your electric bill. So that's where that transition takes place.
Which goes back to the old telephone days where when you had only your phone in your home, and if you wanted to call Aunt Alice, you did it on Sunday before 10, so the rates were lower.
Yeah. It's quite powerful. Economists have known this for years.
Yeah.
And Aunt Alice knew it too. That's why she sat by the phone.
Just waiting for that call.
And if you didn't call in time, she would, you know, call you collect.
Or complain that you were calling too early.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that with this technology, and I guess this is a part of everything that we do, are we letting out information that perhaps should be either proprietary or secure or of value to other people who may not be as concerned about what we're doing to the power grid but have more nefarious ideas?
That's one of the reasons why I think this aspect of home automation, the energy management part, is getting so interesting, because there are people, companies, startups that are looking at this very seriously. People have looked at it before, but not quite in the energy way. And one of the links I have is for a new startup company called Sense, which is monitoring electrical use of appliances in your home. And if you look at how they're doing it, and other people are doing it the same way, they are addressing very, very carefully this issue of the data. Where does that data go? And some of the companies are monitoring electrical usage within your home, but it's done more or less in the way in which we collect data on many phones now. That data doesn't go beyond your phone or beyond your house. So the monitoring so you can do a very, very efficient, very effective type of energy monitoring by looking at usage for the entire area, for the entire neighborhood grid, if you will, and your own usage, so that if it becomes useful to save money or to help the community, for whatever reason, for you to cut back your electrical use at this point by 5%, if there's enough data floating around just within your home to say, okay, and we have the ability to do this. I haven't seen anyone do this particular thing yet, but I think we'll have it in a year or two. If I want to cut back 5%, either for my wallet or for the community, how would I cut back 5% of my electrical use right now? Does that mean just turning off the air conditioner? Or does that mean adjusting the washing machine or turning off two lights in the living room? How do I get to that useful goal without blacking out the whole house or the whole neighborhood if it doesn't work? Does that make sense?
It does.
Because we've got now these tools to monitor it. And if you read all this stuff, because there's tons of links that I put up, if you read this, there's a big emphasis on privacy. And there are some monitoring things that are done externally where you can have the hub or the monitor as part of an external device, or you can keep it within the house.
And when you say privacy, it is our information, or is it the overall access to the power grid that we're protecting?
This is where it started. And I Frank,
and there's a specific, I'm sorry to interrupt, but there's a specific reason I'm asking this, because I did an interview and I read this book by Ted Koppel called Lights Out, which he talks about our greatest terrorist threat is ultimately to our power grid.
Yeah.
And I mean, that thing scared the zippers off me. I mean, because it just, it showed, at least to me, of how vulnerable we are within the power grid. So when you talk about this, of that information being out, I'm just interested in that security of what we're doing to protect that.
Okay. Well, the macro data, the aggregate data of the power that we're using.
Yes.
It's out there. You can read it, you know, it comes out in press releases. For instance, in the summer, look at news reports. You've probably given them yourself.
Yes.
It says, you know, the grid is going to be stressed this afternoon. Turn things off. Yesterday, the city of New York used so and so much power.
Right.
It was the greatest power usage one day since that date. That information's out there. And that's useful because that shows you what's happening at the macro level, to coin a phrase. And then to translate that into saying, okay, I, one person in my apartment, my home, wherever, can cut back 5% if I want to. And here's a way that I could do it with what I've got in my house without turning all the lights off. I find this absolutely fascinating and incredibly doable.
And then where can we take it from there? Where else would this come in handy? Because once we have that, the structure of doing that, it seems that it could be extrapolated to many other things.
Yes. And what? Well, first of all, as where. If we think about doing something like this, then the next step is a really trivial step, which is implementing it. And that's probably like, I don't, maybe 50 years. But it's a big deal. But we've got enough pieces, and the pieces, it seems to me, and I don't do power. That's not what I do. I do technology apps. But the pieces are sitting around now, and it's a matter of getting brilliant people to put them together and to move on. And then what else do we apply it to if this is done right? I think finding out whether the dog likes music or voice. And satisfying Aunt Alice.
Yes, absolutely. Now, you talk in, I know some of the, you put up articles and you can read a lot of what Jesse has taught. He does a lot of homework for this segment. And you can see the various articles and links at northcountryconsulting.com, northcountryconsulting.com. And that's on our website as well. So you can go there and click in. But one of these is the control aspect, and where we have the actual controlled devices of what we can do on our phones.
And we now have, if you go, because home automation is getting big. You can find controllers, you can find them at Home Depot, Lowe's, and the prices, there are two price points we have mostly for controllers. There's one around $75 and the other one is around $150 to $250. This is down from thousands of dollars not very many years ago. The devices are starting to show up now. A few years ago, we had the first light bulbs from Philips, the Hue bulbs. Now there are other bulbs out there that can be controlled on Wi-Fi networks. We have door locks that can be controlled. We have garage doors that, if you look on most of them, there's a little asterisk there that says coming soon. But they're sort of there. It's just a matter of probably months. So we have shades, ceiling fans, lights, thermostats, locks, garage doors, and outlets, power outlets.
Well,
so we've got a lot.
I remember seeing an article, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago. I don't remember where now. But the scenario was you get everything packed up in the car. You're ready to go on vacation. You get the car all packed up. You get the family in the vehicle. You jump in and you're on your way to Maine. And then suddenly one of you turns to the other and says, did you unplug the iron? And you don't know. And then
the house burns down.
Then somebody takes out their phone and says, oh, I can tell you. And if it is, I can turn it off from here. That's fascinating.
That sort of exists today.
Yeah.
If you had an outlet that's connected to your home automation.
Yeah, and that's what they were saying.
You could turn that off.
Yeah, they were saying that the fan, the iron, whatever was plugged into that outlet, you could cut power to that outlet.
But you could not, in that scenario, I don't think at this point, I don't think you could find, one of the things that I put on the web, you could, but you couldn't find if the iron is turned on.
Yeah.
But you could turn off the outlet.
Right, which would be great.
That exists today. It's no problem. And you can check and see if lights are on, the devices that have a little more smarts than irons. So
just you wait. Those irons will be smart soon.
Yeah. And I'm glad we're talking about it because I discovered that my iron doesn't work anymore. I have to buy one tomorrow. So I hope someone out there in WAMC land is tinkering and will have one by tomorrow.
A smart iron. And so in the grand scheme of things, how important is this?
Very. Because what we're doing is there's a possibility to do something that I don't think we've done before, which is controlling devices remotely. We've had for ages. I mean, you just watch Downton Abbey and see what Maggie Smith does. She controls devices without touching a thermostat. You know, she rings a little bell. We know how to do this.
Yes.
And she's very good at it. But controlling devices remotely is great. Finding out the state of a device remotely is sort of new, you know, without, you know, having to call someone. That's sort of new. And being able to see what I think is new, being able to see what power you are using at any given moment, that is new. Because we basically, as far as I know, the only way we know how to monitor our use of this increasingly valuable and scarce resource is to look at the electric bill or to go down and actually look at the meter as it's running. And you can see if the meter is spinning fast or not. But that's as far as I know, the only way you can do it, unless you look and see if the dryer is turned on. But just see how much power you're using. And I know there are people out there who are working on this. You see all of these things. To be able to answer a question that I think is reasonable, and I haven't seen a full answer yet. I want to, either for my own wallet or to be a good citizen, I want to cut back on my power at this time by X percent. I don't see how you can do that unless you know how much you're using.
Absolutely.
So all of these pieces fit into that, and it may wind up being, I mean, we have the pieces. It's a matter of putting it together, and maybe the climate conference is just one little step in making people realize that there's more to protecting the planet than flipping off a light switch. On and off just aren't enough alternatives.
And what they do is important.
Yeah.
Jesse has put wonderful articles on both sides, both the control and monitoring sides of the issue, up on the website. It's northcountryconsulting.com. You can get there from our website as well, wamc.org. Northcountryconsulting.com. Jesse Feiler provides consulting services to small businesses and nonprofits. Again, the website, northcountryconsulting.com. Jesse, always a pleasure to have you here.
Thank
you so much.
Here.
We'll talk to you next month. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.